coverage that we're about to do. We'll be speaking with some of our reporters live at the convention ground of the All Progressives Congress in Abuja later this morning. We have them on standby already. I have joining me right now the news manager, Nigeria Info, joins me right now. Ufoma Egbamuno is right here in the studio with me. Ufoma is battling his headphones. Ufoma, calm down.
I've left it. I don't leave her. Good morning, Sharif. It's good to be here. Okay, I don't know if it's good to be here because I actually need to be on my bed sleeping.
I know, right?
Unfortunately, I can't because I'm on the desk till 12 o'clock. But it's good to be here. Good morning.
This is like a sneak peek into what the elections will be, right?
Yes and
on,
no.
On election, you know, day.
Oh, yeah. You mean our coverage?
Yes,
oh,
coverage.
My goodness. It's going to be crazier than this. You know, it's going to be really crazier than this. But it's something we've done on Nigeria Info over the years. Right. Hopefully, we might do a little bit of that, you know, in the next couple of days. The Ekiti state elections, governorship elections, that is, coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Then there's Osun state just after that, a month or thereabout from now. So we're ready. The newsroom, the program department, everybody is ready to give, of course, the listeners what they want to know and all the information they need.
Fantastic. Let's quickly talk about what's been happening since yesterday. I know that you've got your eyes on the event happening at Ego Square. What can you tell us?
Well, what I can tell you is that just before I walked into the studio, voting was just about to wrap up. It was even wrapped up, and our collation will be starting any moment from now. So we still have a couple of hours to go.
Yeah.
Of course, collation, the over 2,000 delegates voted, and then it will be sorted out, you know, and then it will be counted, and then, of course, a winner will emerge. And of course, the winner would most likely come give a victory speech, you know, and call for unity as they would always do, and call everybody, you know, to back him up to prepare for the bigger challenge, which would be against the main opposition party, that's Atiku Abubakar of the PDP, and of course there are a couple of other contenders, you know, that will be springing up in a matter of days.
We're going to talk about briefly the step downs that you have witnessed. You have Akpabio, you have Fayemi, you have Amusu, you have Badaru, and a couple of others who stepped down. I want to quickly speak about this, particularly Fayemi step down. Before now, I'm sure that you're aware of the in quotes now, the Abuja boys, in quotes. Under the Abuja boys, you hear names like Fayemi, you hear names like even Amusu, you hear names like
Raul
Faribeshola, you know, you have names like Ambode. You know, these are termed Abuja boys, and they're termed Abuja boys because of the seeming division in the Southwest APC. When I now saw Fayemi stepping down, I was like, okay, politics.
Well, I wasn't, to be honest, I wasn't surprised about Fayemi. If you, like he said in his speech before he stepped down, he himself and Bola Ahmed Tinubu have come a long way. These guys actually were at the forefront of ensuring that the military dictatorship of General Sani Abacha, you know, left the corridor. They fought tooth and nail, you know, with the with Nadeku, as they were called at the time. Governor Fayemi was, you know, the one who ran Radio Kudirat, you know, from overseas, if you remember. So himself and Tinubu, to a large extent, have really, really come a long way. But again, for the benefit of those listening, this is what politics is about. There's no permanent enemy or permanent friend. It's all about interests. It's all about how does this decision benefit me. That's what politicians are always thinking about. There's always the horse trading, you know, there's always that give and take. And to a large extent, Governor Fayemi read the room, you know, and saw that, well, I might as well just get the 48 or thereabout delegates from my state, and maybe a couple of one and two over there. Will that automatically make me the APC flag bearer? Absolutely not. So if that's not going to make me the APC flag bearer or candidate, why not? I have to start looking at who is the likely person to get this thing. Who can I work with, you know, that that will get it, that at the end of the day, I would also have a seat at the table. Because to a large extent, a lot of the persons who bought and contested for these APC primaries know deep down that they were not going to win, you know, but it was an opportunity for them, it was an avenue for them to get a seat at the table, to dine with the powers that be, to have conversations with who eventually possibly get the ticket and possibly become president, you know, so that, well, I can have that little bit of share here and there. So do not be surprised, Sheriff, if I'm sure we'll come to that, Tinubu gets to win this morning, gets the ticket, then wins the general election. Do not be surprised if Fayemi, for all of the things you've heard over the last month, you know, become a minister in his cabinet. Do not be surprised if he gets something, you know, that's not even a minister, but a big portfolio. This is what politics are about. I would say what actually the one that shocked me, like I said earlier on during our 6 a.m. bulletin, was the former governor of Akwa Ibom State. I knew deep down that Akpabio was not in the business to come and to win the APC. It was making the calculations,
positioning,
horse trading, and exactly positioning. Remember that just 2 days ago, was it yesterday, Senator Akpan Odoede, the former acting secretary of the party, had to quit the APC, you know, and join the NMPP. Himself and Akpabio have had this running battle of who to control the party machinery in Akwa Ibom State. I think there were two factions. Well, but the faction that always gets recognized is the one that the national body recognizes, and to a large extent, the one, you know, Akpabio actually was heading was the one that was recognized by the national body of so that's the reason Akpan Odoede had to leave, one of the reasons he had to leave the party,
right?
You know, so for Akpabio, it was more about horse trading, who do I negotiate with, and all of that. That was what actually shocked me, because I thought that in my own postulations and calculations, and maybe for a few persons, I thought it was actually there was going to be that dealing between himself and his south neighbor, who both of them were governors at the same time, talking about Rotimi Amaechi. But that's the only thing that shocked me yesterday night. It sets the tempo, you know, for possibly a victory for Tinubu.
We're going to cross over to Eagle Square right now. Let's talk to our correspondent Solomon Ndahi. Solomon is currently on the ground right now at the convention venue. He joins us via the telephone. Solomon, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff, and thank you for having me.
First and foremost, I need to say good job, great job you've you and the team have done since yesterday, that you've been there and you're still there up until this moment. Well, Solomon, quickly, what is the latest? What can you tell us?
Thank you so much. Now, if you can hear behind me at the background, because I'm live in the middle of the main bowl of the Eagle Square, the Election Management Committee, headed by the governor of Kebbi State, that's Atiku Bagudu, also assisted by a former APC aspirant, APC aspirant in Edo State candidate, Osage Izeyamu. They are the ones trying to see how the sorting can go on. Voting has officially closed. All delegates from 36 states, as well as the SET, have voted for their aspirant of choice. And now what we are trying to see take place here, and we're allowing the play, is the sorting of the votes before the counting will begin.
Okay.
But just so I tell you, it has been a very dramatic and eventful, I wouldn't call it a day, because it started 5 yesterday and it's still playing on now, so I don't know whether it takes a day or two. But the Eagle Square, which is the venue of this particular event, and also where traditionally we have the swearing in and the handing over of a president, it's very eventful and colorful, and most of the civil servants that the proximity of their office is very close to this particular venue, are not even allowed access to work. You have to have a tag, just like I'm holding particularly in my chest, the one that says for press and media, or a delegate or a party official. And that's one of the worries, because today officially has become an unofficial public holiday, because most civil servants that the proximity of their office is very close to the venue of this particular event are not being allowed access to work. You have to have this particular tag I'm holding to be able to gain access to this place. And I to tell you, it houses about 1,500 civil servants that work in the federal secretariat, many ministries, and also MDAs of government.
Right. Solomon, please talk to me about if there's any aspirant who didn't show up for the convention.
Yes, the Minister of Education for State, Emeka Nwajuba from Imo State, did not show up for this particular convention. And we looked and we looked and we searched for him. And even when his name was announced, because the candidates, the aspirants, I beg your pardon, for this particular election, when they were called up to speak just before the election started, they were called in batches of four.
Right.
But he, when he was called upon, he never showed up, and we have not heard any statement from him. So of the 23 aspirants that had indicated interest and were cleared by the party to run, Emeka Nwajuba from Imo State, the Minister of State for Education, did not show up. But all 22 other aspirants, including the Vice President and the leader of the party, the Senaban of Bogu, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, all showed up for this particular convention. A lot of them stepped down for a candidate or so. Some of them decided to go on the race, and that's the sorting of votes we're waiting for.
Right. Also, Solomon, we also observed that polling was halted at some point. What happened then?
Okay, thank you so much. Now, polling, as you've mentioned, was halted exactly between the hours of 4:45 and sometimes just before 6 o'clock due to the fact that the delegates that are voting for this particular election, just so you know, sir, the delegates for this particular election were chosen three per local government. We have 774 local governments in the whole country, including the six area councils. So every local government slash area council had three delegates that were assigned to participate in this particular election. Now, they complained because the process was moving very slow, according to them, not my own take or not my view. They were complaining that the process was moving very slow, and they didn't get sort of reaction. Now, the Election Management Committee, headed by the governor of Kebbi State, as Kubagudu has mentioned, decided to take a new dimension, thereby bringing in, because they were going in a chronological order, where we had delegates from Abia, Adamawa, those are the first place chronologically. They now decided to start it from the front and also from the back. That means we now had delegates from Zamfara, Yobe. So there are two particular polling units assigned for this particular election. So when we have one from Abia, we now have one from Zamfara.
Okay.
That is the first and the last state. So the delegates were complaining because the process, as it was going, they were complaining that it would take a lot of time. So after their complaint and a very, very brief and informal meeting by the members of the Election Management Committee, they then decided to start the voting, one from the front, one from the back. And that is what has made us culminate and end the voting as early as voting officially concluded as at 7:45 a.m. this morning. Now, as I speak to you, what we are witnessing is the sorting of voting.
Okay.
Now, when the sorting of voting is done, we will not have the count of the voting.
Okay.
So, as I speak to you now, we are having the sorting of the voting being monitored by the polling agents of each of the aspirants that are still in the race.
Also, very quickly, during, I think, when the VP was about to deliver his speech, we were just hearing noise and noise and noise.
What was going on at the time? Thank you so much for asking, because a lot of people are actually asking that particular question. His supporters actually were able to evade. As I speak to you, I've been in this particular venue since 4 o'clock yesterday, and I'm still here. But a lot of supporters, these are people that were not even accredited.
Yeah.
These are people that most of them were not even, on a normal day, were not supposed to be in this particular convention. But due to some form of consensus that was agreed at the gate, due to the pressure they received, they were allowed in entrance. Now, these were the people that were shouting and making a lot of noise because they are in support of the vice president. But this did not only happen for the vice president, because it also happened when the leader of the All Progressive Congress, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, was about to speak. Mind you, he was the first person to speak, because alphabetically, in chronological order, he was the first, because his name is Ahmed.
Indeed. So, Solomon, again, looking at the entire process from the beginning to this very point, would you, from your assessment, would you say it was a fairly monitored process or fairly executed process?
Yes, in my opinion, and what I've seen as a journalist recorded and will definitely disseminate, I see a lot of the security, because most of the issues we had was even gaining access to the venue. The security authorities were very stringent in their methods of screening people to gain access. I particularly passed through four gates, despite being a known journalist in Abuja and also having all the requisite accreditation. So the process of allowing people to gain access was very stringent. But unfortunately, just like you will see on social media and conventional media, there was a particular point in time that all comers had their share. But now that has had nothing to do with the voting process, because those that have been allowed to vote, as at the time I monitored and I saw and it has been concluded, were all delegates that were duly registered, duly allowed by the party. But unfortunately, we had a lot of influx because this has turned into a funfair. As I'm talking to you now, there is nothing, there is no particular food in Nigeria that I want to eat that is not being sold at this particular venue.
Wow.
It has turned into a more of a trade fair. You trust the Nigerian spirit for that.
But Sunday, bring for us now.
I will try to bring for you, Sherry, but you have to allow me have 4 plates because I'm a big man.
Go ahead. Go ahead. My last question. I don't know if Ufoma is here, by the way. I don't know if Ufoma has a question.
My own question is for you to bring food. I'm hungry. I've not eaten this morning.
I will do that, sir. Please check your meal.
Meal? Come on now, Mr. Ndahi. Come on now.
My last question, Solomon, is this, right?
Yes.
So before the convention, you know, started, we were getting news and stories about how monies have started changing hands. Did you by any way see anything that looked like Ghana must go or a duffel bag or any confirmation from any of the delegates? By the way, maybe you just eavesdrop. I'm not saying that is a good thing.
No, just to state, because I also covered the People's Democratic Party convention, in very sharp contradiction, there was basically no money. The only monies you could see in exchange hands were between those that was exchanged between journalists like myself, delegates, security operatives, to vendors that were providing services. And just to state, the operatives of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, EFCC, were also on ground. Only thing I noticed was that there was a particular former governor that came, and he came this morning. Apparently he was not present yesterday, but when he came this morning, he decided to splash some cash. And as I talk to you, I have a dent on my shoe, because some people trying to jostle for that particular set of naira actually got to my shoe.
Give us the name of this person. What is his name?
He's a former governor of Borno State, sir. That is what I can say for now.
Solomon, don't worry now.
I have an idea of who you're talking about already.
I know you would.
Solomon, please stay safe, okay? Please stay safe.
I will stay safe, and I will bring updates of the results as they unfold. And whatever happens here, you can trust me to give you an instant update.
Absolutely, we have no doubt. Great job that you do, Solomon. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
There you go. You've heard the updates from the venue there. Ordinarily, I wouldn't expect anything less of what we have seen. But judging by what you have seen, what Solomon has said, and the PDP's primaries, which one would you say could maybe properly organize based on organization, then based on process as well?
I think it's not even in doubt. You have to give it to the opposition, the People's Democratic Party. To a large extent, I think their primaries was a bit flawless in terms of organization, in terms of transparency, you know, in terms of fairness. There was so much chaos yesterday. 23 persons were screened. They cut down the list to 13, and then we heard, all the people that were screened out have been allowed to come in, and they trimmed it down to 5. In fact, at the point, news was coming up that it was now 3. At the point, it was 2, and then aspirants were asked to speak for 2 minutes, but the first person to go, talking about the APC national leader Bola Tinubu, spent almost, if not more than 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And then it dawned on the MCs that they should cut time, and they tried to do that for the second speaker, right, Ahmed Lawal, and he immediately told them, please do not. he didn't say that, but you could see.
Yeah, you could see the way he reacted.
No, come here. If I come here, I'll go do. And that set the tone more or less for some of the speeches that sometimes you ask yourself, what the heck is this person actually saying? In fact, some turned it into what do you call this now? You praise singing, for the sitting president, instead of selling themselves as candidates.
I thought I was the only one
turned it into
that.
Praise singing for the president. In fact, the one that actually, I can't even remember his name, the one of the Southeast candidates, My goodness, he spent 9 out of his 10 minutes or thereabouts, you know, talking about his history with the president from the 1980s, even the 70s before I was born, you know, up, and then spent the last 30 seconds trying to tell us that if you vote for him, you're voting for a duplicate of Buhari. I'm sure a lot of persons listening,
that's his own selling point.
You know, would ask themselves, why do I want a duplicate of Buhari? But in terms of organization, in terms of what we saw, you have to give it to the PDP. It was flawless.
Right. Let's have join us right now another of our correspondents, Abayomi, who is also at the venue right now. Abayomi Akingbola, good morning to you, Abayomi.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Who is it going there? How is it going? What can you tell us?
Well, he's going well. I think they're getting their, you know, programming together now.
Okay.
Voting has ended. And the ballot has been, you know, arranged to just about now. The chairman of the election, you know, panel just announced that sorting is about to start.
Indeed. Abayomi, would most likely call you back after the break. We're due for a break now. We'll call you back to talk to you some more. Is that okay?
All right.
Fantastic. Thank you, Abayomi. Ufoma, let's head out to a break. Perhaps we can squeeze in just one call before the break. Let's take this call before the break, then we'll go on out. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please. Oh, I think we lost that already. Oh, what a situation. Well, we've got some comments here. Anya on YouTube says, whatever the outcome is, all of us who are not politicians are in the minority will feel the consequences while they pad themselves with questionable wealth and second passports. Okay. A lot of issues there with that message. You know what? It's time for our short break right now. Let's head out. When we return, we'll talk some more with Abayomi, our second correspondent at the venue. If we have more time, we'll speak to others as well. And of course, we'll speak with you, our listener, on the show this morning. So stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I'm Sharif Quadri.
One step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, have you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yeah.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good, and finally!
You should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer her prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's about finding happiness in your home. Look, wait!
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're still live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube. Feel free to join our conversation on those two platforms very quickly. Let me also talk about the treasure hunt. The treasure hunt is still pretty much on. Right, so what you're looking for today is a picture of the PVC. That is what you're looking for, a picture of the PVC. You can find the treasure hunts, the treasure rather, on our mobile app. Just get our mobile app. It's called Nigeria Info FM. Go get it. If you're on Android, go to your Google Play Store. If you're on iPhone, go to your App Store and go get it and download and install and start winning 5,000 naira. Now, here's the thing. If you've won before, you cannot win again. In that dossier, Christiana, you sent messages earlier that you've not been paid. The reason you have not been paid is because you won before. So you will not be paid because you've won before. All right. I think that is settled. For today's winner, we are currently working on it. Hopefully, very, very quickly, we will... we will announce the winner pretty soon, okay? Let's head back to Eagle Square in Abuja to speak to our reporter, Abayomi. Abayomi Akingbola, who rejoins us right now all the way from the venue of the Convention of the All Progressives Congress. Abayomi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, Abayomi, quickly, let me ask you very quickly this morning about what happened before the elections, especially how... this previous aspirants were stepping down, were there negotiations right there on the floor of the convention? Did you notice anything going on that could have prompted these aspirants to have stepped down, or you feel that those had been, the negotiations had been done before the convention yesterday?
There was actually no negotiation here at the convention. The negotiations have been done even before now. Like, you know, according to the electoral, even if they are going on consensus, every aspirant needs to come down before the primary.
That's right.
But if any of the aspirants is still contending, then all of them will have to contend.
That's right.
Because that was the reason why all of them, you know, were here today. I mean, yesterday night, and they started announcing their withdrawal. So it wasn't from here.
Is there anything you can tell us about Yahya Bello's camp and their disposition towards the convention yesterday?
You mean his camp and what?
Yes, and their disposition, their reaction towards the convention yesterday, because the news
no strange reaction than he's in the race, and he has said it before now that he's not going to back down, that he knows what he's seeing and he's going for what he believes in. So he has always said it, and even before now, when they were trying to talk to the governors, were trying to talk to him to calm down.
Yeah.
He actually fled up, and he was like, he's not going to back down. So there was nothing different. I guess he's one of those aspirants that is even making this primary to come to, you know, future.
Indeed. Fantastic. Abayomi, thank you so much for talking to us, all right?
You're welcome.
All right. Ufoma, let's drill down a little bit as to how everything has panned out. Does it matter the number of people that step down for a particular individual to be able to forecast who the winner might be at the end of the day?
It matters the individuals and the weight they carry. I honestly think that the two major tactical blows, so to speak, to the other opponents will be that of Akpabio's stepping down and Fayemi's. Akpabio, like I did say at the start of the show, you know, has the party machinery of Akwa Ibom. Akwa Ibom has, I think, about 93 delegates. So that's huge one. Fayemi, his delegates are about 46. So at 46 and 93 or thereabout, you have almost 140 already.
Is that an assurance, really? Because if anything, if stuff that went down at the PDP convention isn't to go by, you'd see that even aspirants at the time, you know, got votes from their weak areas, their not too strongholds.
So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that hook, line and sinker all 90 or 93 votes will go, you know, but a majority of, and I'm saying the majority could be out of 90, you could get about 85. Okay. That's because the persons who hold these party machinery, sometimes governors, but there's no APC government in Akwa Ibom.
That's right.
That's why the former governor of Akwa Ibom, former minister, is the one who's holding this machinery. And to a large extent, these persons who are delegates, you could argue, are handpicked by these super machinery holders, either governors or major stakeholders. And it's where they tell them to go, that's where they go. You know, and to a large extent, the alleged monies that are being shared, they don't get to be shared to these individuals. They get to be shared allegedly to the super a stakeholder who ends up distributing it, and it will trickle down. So if you don't do what you're supposed to do, right. I don't know how they would know, but one way or the other, you might not get the benefit of voting for whoever your leader asks you to vote for. So to a large extent, yes, there might be one or two dissenting voices, but right. if a stakeholder says, this is where my delegates are going, be certain that 90-95% of those delegates are going that route.
We have seen what happened all night this morning. To you, who are the major contenders? At this point, voting is being sorted right now. Who are the major contenders?
you could argue right now that there's only one major contender. You could argue. You could argue. But before the drama of yesterday, for me, I thought, I've always said that this race is between three persons. The former Minister of Transportation, Rotimi Amaechi, the Vice President, Yemi Osinbajo, and the APC National Leader, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. These are the three persons. And I will be shocked if the results are out and these guys are not one, two, and three. Every other person, as far as I'm concerned, is just looking for a space or looking for... okay, there's also, let's not forget, how did I miss him? The Senate President. You remember that he was a late entrant into the picture.
Yes,
in fact, I was shocked the day he announced, you know, that he was, or the day he announced he was going to buy a ticket. You know, sorry, is it ticket? They call it again. A form. Sorry, nomination form. I'm tired. You know, I was shocked because I've thought that he was one of the major backers of the APC National Leader, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. Bola Ahmed Tinubu worked a large extent to his emergence as Senate President. So I was actually shocked that he announced his candidature. But maybe he was pushed by the powers that be. Remember that the APC National Chairman came out a few days ago and said that the consensus candidate is Ahmed Lawal.
Right.
And then again, the Southeastern bloc of the APC said they were going to vote for Ahmed Lawal. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ahmed Lawal actually gets into the top three. So I have to add him in the mix.
Right.
Ahmed Lawal, Yemi Osinbajo, Rotimi Amaechi, and Bola Ahmed Tinubu. For me, these are the top contenders.
Any moment now, vote counting will start and you can witness the revelation yourself. Let's take some reactions right now from you. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904. Are female callers only. Please, when you're calling, turn off your radio. It will be highly appreciated. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please, morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. So, please, we're enjoying your analysis, though I'm not on radio now. Okay. But I wanted to give you information. I've been trying to call your line online.
Yes, please.
The youth are determined to change the narrative, but I don't think that INEC helping matters. At Etiosa local government, that is at the way for here.
Right.
So, if you don't mind, I can send you the videos of people since yesterday. People will come for registration. They will say, "Oh, register, put down a name on the paper for today."
Yeah.
I'm sorry for taking you away from what you're doing, but this is very important. Then you put down your name down. People will come the following day. They have some guys that they will be collecting as much as $10,000 from people. In fact, as of this morning, somebody paid to sneak the person in.
To register as a voter.
Pardon?
To register as a voter.
Yes. So yesterday they had to, in fact, a particular girl was a victim yesterday. They had to slap her. I was there yesterday. This morning they have started again, and people are already agitated. They had to close the entrance of the local government. Then, when they close it, they will keep people outside. And you know that the INEC office is at the back, near the mosque, at the back. Mm-hmm. They will close down the gate and keep people outside and see they are nothing. You see hundreds of people outside. They will just, when you pay, they will sneak the person inside. In fact, as I'm there now, I've been there for, I've stopped going to work for the past some days now.
Oh.
And then trying to register, I couldn't register, and I've not registered, so I have to take some of my guys. I'm driving them down to TDS now to go and register. But I'm calling your attention because it's becoming something to be looked into.
Yes, it is. Yes,
local government, because
yes,
those guys are constituting nuisance. The INEC officials there, they are compromised heavily. They don't want the youth to have their movement. They don't want the youth to have their voice heard. And that is the reason why I am calling you. And the computer when they started, we saw about, that was the last month when I got there first. They were about four computers there. So they now left, they took three away. It remained one as at last week. Now they brought one back. And that was yesterday. And then they would just mention that they're frustrated people. And people want to register, people want to vote. And then they just want to use the whole system and tactics to frustrate people. And I'm seeing that
thank you.
This is actually
thank you.
Clear.
Thank you for the information. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Ufuma, this is a very valid concern. about electoral officers. You know, during the NIN thing, this same issue came up.
True that.
Like, every moment that you get to want to exercise your civic duties, your civic responsibilities, there's somebody somewhere that would frustrate your life.
Unfortunately, because I have heard lots of other stories from other areas, you know, about the same issue. Sometimes it feels like it's premeditated. Sometimes it feels like it's just the lack of capacity of the electoral body or the ad hoc staff in these particular areas. But also what I've noticed, and this cuts across the whole nation, is that there's an upsurge in the number of persons coming to register,
especially young persons.
That tells me, that, you know, proves to me what I've been thinking and what I've been saying all along. Sheriff, the 2023 presidential election, or even the 2023 general elections, is not going to be business as usual. All of the permutations we've been making, all of the looking at the data from 2019 back to 2015, 2011, trust me, there's going to be a shift, a likely shift from the usual data we usually see. That's because there's a likelihood that the 2023 election is going to be, well, it's almost always been the same way, but it's going to be heavily about ethnicity and regional sentiments. Guess why? The PDP, one of the major parties in the country, has got a Hausa Fulani man as their presidential aspirant. Most likely, the APC would have a Yoruba person as their presidential aspirant. And then there's the man who broke away from the PDP and who seems to have lots of Nigerians who are tired of the APC and the PDP, and a good number of young persons. I'm talking about Peter Obi joining the Labour Party. Right. And to a large extent, I think, and guess what? Peter Obi is from the Southeast. He's an Igbo man. So it looks like we're going back to the 60s and the 70s, where we had this Shagari versus Awolowo versus Nnamdi Azikiwe kind of battle. Now, this was in the 70s, actually. For the 60s, it was what's the name of our prime minister again? Tafawa Belewa versus Awolowo versus Nnamdi Azikiwe. It looks like the 2023 general election will go that same route again. So, like I said on Morning Crossfire 2 weeks ago, last week. I honestly think that there's not going to be a clear-cut winner in the first round. I think that the election will go to a runoff. Because if you judge by how most Nigerians vote, and let's be honest with ourselves, those of us in urban cities, you know, we can make some of these decisions from informed opinions. But Nigerian elections are determined to a large extent by those who live in places where they don't even have radio, you know, or places where they don't even have internet. So they don't even know. What they only know is what their party leaders or what their persons who tell them, okay, go this way. So to a large extent, if you look at this regional thing, I honestly think a lot of persons in the Southeast will vote for Peter Obi. The Southwest will vote in block, believe it or not. As soon as if Tinubu is announced as the APC flag bearer, trust me, the Southwest will vote in block. It will be like the 2003 election when Yorubas actually supported Obasanjo as opposed to what they did in 1999. And whether we want to accept it or not, in the northern part of the country, especially in the Northeast and the Northwest, a lot of persons will vote for their quote-unquote own. I'm talking Atiku Abubakar. Where I think you might not have that kind of homogeneous
some swing states
voting pattern will be in the South-South. Because as it is right now, there's no candidate from the South-South. So the South-South could be a bit of a toss-up. You don't know where they're going to go. I also think North Central, I'm talking Taraba to some extent, Benue to some extent, Plateau to some extent, and Kogi. These could also be toss-up areas. They could vote either way. This will mean, in my opinion, that we might not have that clear majority where you need to win a majority and then have 25% in 24 states, which could necessitate into a possible runoff. There's still a long time to go. goodness me, we have 6 months of campaign.
Yes, we do.
My word.
Yes, that's a very long election cycle, really. Let's say about your telephone. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Yeah, and Sheriff, I want to say this. These people stepping down, like the people like the former speaker and Amusu, they don't actually have a delegate from their state. Because the governor of Ogun State controlled the state. And the other young man yesterday, I was so disappointed with one young man who was giving the history how his mother was, his mother got pregnant 3 times.
That's Tane Jack Rich.
Yes, you are telling the Lord the history of your mother, how he got pregnant by 3 different men. Is that the kind of person that you want to vote for? And we are clamoring for you to former. Look at the other guy, the other Iboma from Southeast. He was just busy telling us the story of Buhari, how Buhari started, that none of all these aspirants started with Buhari. He was just praising the president. It's like Buhari will continue for the third time. He was just there to campaign for Buhari.
Thank you, Friday, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. I need you to turn off the radio and call me back. I'm going to speak with Madam Ife now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning.
And your family.
Great, thank you.
Ma.
Sir?
You do well.
Ma? Yeah.
You really know how to analyze this thing.
Hey, well, thank you.
Yes. You are a young man, but your analysis is just like old people like us.
Please tell Sharif to increase my salary. He's my guy.
Let me not say what I used to say.
Everybody is going to vote according to Mbati, Noah, Sanu. You will see at the end of the day. There will be no. They should just start setting up an electoral college. It's going to be tough in 2023. Right. Good morning.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I'm going to take just one more call. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Sharif. Good
morning to you.
Yeah. I greet all of you in the studio.
Good morning.
This is Hosseini. I'm calling from Ableba.
Go on quickly.
Yes, I think.
Oh, yeah. We're waiting. Are you back? Hosseini's not back. Hosseini, sorry about that, right? I'm really sorry about that. Ufoma, so we should expect the result in another hour, right?
More than I would think. Okay. It has to be counted, yeah. Sorted, and then counted.
Yeah.
So maybe another 2 hours or 2 hours, 30 minutes, give or take.
All right. We'll break the news to you here. We'll bring you a blow-by-blow account of what is going on in there. If you like to track everything happening, please visit our Facebook page. Everything is right there. Updates is going on by the minute.
And on our website, we have a live. Well. We haven't slept actually.
Yeah, I know.
kudos to the digital team: Olamide, Faduju, Ken, Hilary Noroka. Well, I had to leave them and I slept.
Of course, you're the organo.
but they've been doing a fantastic job. So go to our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. There's a live update there, minute by minute. You'll see pictures and, you know, everything going on. And of course, whoever emerges, you'd hear it first on your number one talk station.
Right, Ufoma, thank you so much for coming around. I appreciate it.
Increase my salary.
Go away.
Please.
Go away. So before we go, let me quickly announce the winner of Treasure Hunt today. Emele Roy Ikenna, you're the winner of 5,000 Naira Treasure Hunt. You found the picture of the PVC. Congratulations to you. You're going to be paid 5,000 Naira. Courtesy Nigeria Info. I am Sheriff Quadri. That's our show this morning. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Bye-bye.
More conversation. More talk. More right after this.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.